Welcome to Life and Godliness. I am your host, Joanna Simpson, otherwise known as JoSim. So many of us are struggling, stuck, lost, wounded, and hopeless when Jesus came so we could be free and live an abundant life. He wants us to enjoy Him and enjoy life. But how can we truly do this if we're bogged down by life's problems? Well, Life and Godliness with JoSim hopes to help persons enjoy life with Christ by sharing Christ-inspired solutions to everyday problems and digging up deep-rooted mindsets that skew our perception of the Father. To quote a popular artist, life is hard, but God is good. And He's patient in our journeys. So join us as we talk about life and godliness.
In our first episode of Life and Godliness, because this is our first episode, yay! Sharing on how to heal from hurts within the church. Many of us have been wounded by members of the church and some even by leaders. Some of us have left the church and others have not been able to regain the lively relationship with Christ. But God wants us to be free today. So we have invited Mrs. Janet Senior to share with us as we seek to heal from this type of hurt. Janet has been involved in church and missions for over 30 years. She's married with 3 adult children and 1 grandson. Welcome, Janet. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here with you.
And it is such a pleasure to have you here with us to discuss this challenging topic. I mean, I'm somebody who has experienced this, someone that has really been deeply wounded by members of the church as well. So this is such an important topic. And I know for me, you know, it really affected my perception of the Father and my relationship with Him. And healing from it has been such a liberating experience. So I'm really, really looking forward to just our discussion and hearing your story. But I'm sure the listeners would want to hear a little bit about you. Can you share with them something about Janet?
Okay. So I was a commended church worker in the Brethren movement since I was 19. I went to Jamaica Theological Seminary, and in latter years, I worked as a director at Swallowfield Chapel, a family life ministry, which incorporated men, women, young adults, marriage, lay counseling, and parenting ministries. And so I had the pleasure, the challenge, and the love of mentoring, shaping, and training leaders for those areas in the church.
Okay, that's
I'm also
amazing.
An internationally trained family life speaker for marriage and parenting and youth at the Crossroads with Campus Crusade and Family Life USA. I am a foodie and a trained caterer. And so I really have an exciting life. I enjoy gardening and I love people, but most of all, I have benefited and I have valued my relationship with God since all these many, many years. I mean, I guess it would be grandparents' years for you, because I became a Christian at about 12.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I have journeyed all through my pubescent, teenage, adult, and now into the senior years with the Lord.
That's amazing. So you managed to... Sorry, you managed to remain a Christian throughout your teenage years. That's a miracle.
Yes, I did. I had a lot of support from many other teenagers, and we did our journey together. I always traveled in packs, like wolves. We got hurt together. We got healed together. And we never thought about leaving God. We left churches and different ministries, but we stood with God our Father all through this time. And that is my passion and where I go with, even with this topic, that, you know, we have to stay with God to be healed when we are hurt.
Yeah. So how did you get to know God in the first place? How did you become saved?
Okay, so I had the pleasure of having a very older sister. My mom had children in two different eras. So by the time I was born, my sister was perhaps going into the teenage years.
Okay.
So she took us to church from I was 3, took us to Sunday school. and I started there. I believe that I have gone to the altar and accepted the Lord every year since I was 3 up to 12.
I know what that feels like.
I think though that I realized that I didn't need to do that after the 12 year decision. I committed my life to God and learned that even if I do sin, I don't need to start all over again. You know, because this relationship of forgiveness is just ask, confess, and He forgives, and the healing starts again.
And that is a critical aspect of our Christian life that I think we truly need to appreciate. I think it's so counterculture, it's so different from what we are used to, that forgiveness, you know, in terms of Christ forgiving us, has just been such a challenge to internalize sometimes. And so we walk around with the guilt and, you know, the condemnation of the sins that we've done, you know. So that really was key. Yes, that really was key. In, you know, it sounds like it was key in terms of just your own growth and spiritual life. So in terms of, so you were saved from you were about 12. What was your experience of the church? What were your expectations of the members, the leaders? You know, what was that time like?
Well, in the early years up to, I would say, 14, things were okay. You didn't get a chance to see and to go very near the, what I would say, the isms and the church politics and so forth and leadership. It wasn't until I became a leader in the youth ministry at about 14, 15, that I started to realize that we had a church within a church. You know, everything wasn't equal. And I learned to walk on ice and to understand what the Bible meant by that you were to respect your elders. I thought it was just general respect. I learned the hard way that sometimes you didn't have a voice. What was said, you just needed to accept it. And that was how you were measured, by respect.
Okay, you know, conformity.
Conformity. And during that time, it was, we began to get into the old charismatic movement.
Okay.
And there were many times when we were called by the leadership and reprimanded for what we thought was being spiritual because we were choosing to do things a little differently. So I realized that hurt can come when there is not uniformity. You know, and I don't believe that Christians are called to uniformity. We are given different gifts and different talents, and they are supposed to complement and build the church.
Right.
So we're not all singers. The gifts are so different when you look at the scripture. And most of my hurt came from the fact that I challenged uniformity, and I believe that your gift should provide room for you and that you should have a voice.
Okay. So could you tell us a little bit about that experience and, you know, what it was like? So it sounds as though you really got to the point where you eventually butt heads a bit with the leaders, which definitely in our culture is a challenge. And I'm sure even at that time was something that was a little bit out of the norm because, you know, persons were taught to respect their elders, respect those who were older. So could you share a little bit about that with us, please?
Okay. So we thought we were on fire and on the ball, and we would, without being asked, after our 4 o'clock Sunday school Bible class and finished at 6, we would walk into the town to give our tracts and witness and invite people to church on our own as young people. There were about 12 to 15 of us, sometimes 20. And we were in what you call a junior to a senior Bible class. And we would meet in the classroom upstairs. We never went home between Sunday school and church. We stayed for night service. Can you believe it, that?
As young people.
Yes. You know, 15 to 20. Yes, staying for night service with the old people, going out in the town and inviting people and praying. One Sunday evening while praying, we were praising the Lord and jumping up, and somebody shouted too loud and the elders were called in. And we were told that we were not behaving well and we were to shut down any prayer meeting we were having. And we were not to take on responsibilities that were not given to us.
Okay.
And I have to tell you this, many of us left the meeting in tears.
No.
Many of us. Some of us didn't come back to the church, but a few of us didn't feel that God wanted us to leave. And our young people's meeting at the time, which was about 60, 70, can you imagine?
Wow.
During those days, we were having our own church to ourselves. We didn't ask for money or anything. We found a way to encourage young people to come out. Those who weren't doing well in school, we would encourage each other, and we all did well. We even started our own little camp. And it petered out to about 25, but we stayed and we conformed and we conformed and we prayed until a couple of years later, we got a breakthrough. You know,
really? What was that?
One of the leaders must have been observing us and must have seen what we did, and somehow they arranged to have him be over us. So we didn't report to everybody anymore. We had our own elder.
Wow.
And he seemed to have been, you know, a little more understanding, and he gave us the allowance and the time and the space to grow. And we grew from that number to about 175, formed our own chorale, had our own camp, and now tells the story. You know, we are not at the same place, but we're all leaders in all over Jamaica and the world in different positions because we went through that process of mourning and healing together. But it was hard on us because some who walked away did not come back. And it affected me and changed my perspective up to today.
I mean, just this story is amazing because there's so many different elements to it. You know, first of all, there is the fire and the power of God at work in the lives of young people. And I mean, growing up, I've heard about, you know, some of these experiences, you know, in my parents' lives as well. And just how committed and how on fire young people were for Christ at that time, you know, is amazing. You know, I mean, also, so you have that on fire charismatic time, as you said, and then you moved into evangelism, you know, so it's just reaching out to people, it's connecting, you know, it's carrying the gospel out because God has done a work in our life, in your life. And then after that, you know, there's the opposition that comes. And, you know, there are two kind of responses to the opposition that we hear coming out in your experience. There is, you know, those who are so hurt that they left. And I mean, you know, coming from the leaders after you think you are doing something for God must really rock you to the core, you know?
We learned something during that those years. We learned to focus on God's perfection and how awesome he is instead of the imperfection of our church leaders.
Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yes, we realized that it happened for a purpose, because nothing happens to children of God. And we look in our hurt, we were able to find God in a deeper way, you know. And sometimes when there are changes, we have to be careful not just to look at the negative, you know, because God had a purpose. I know that some persons, we had to work very hard to encourage them in the faith, and maybe one or two we have not seen. We are not seeing back. We're not sure that they don't find a way. Maybe they internalize it so much that they just became bench warmers rather than active, you know, out front there. But we saw that God brought us through and made us stronger during the time mm-hmm. when we decided that we were not going to walk away in anger and resentment, but yeah. we were going to stay to what God called us to. And we helped each mm-hmm. other to mend and to heal. And I believe that sometimes we need to spend time with persons who are hurt. When persons are yeah. hurt, they need persons to come alongside them and listen to them, just as mm-hmm. God would listen to us. You know, so, yeah. so there is perfection in God and His Word there, that we are to love one another, we are to support one another, and that's what we did, even without knowing it. We hadn't been to Bible mm-hmm. school yet. Many of us weren't students yet. We were just reading, because we read the Bible and we forced each other to memorize it. But a system where when you call on the phone, you had to say the verse of the day before you have a conversation.
Wow.
Thinking about 25, 30 people doing that, and we're all friends.
That's amazing. That's encouraging each other daily.
Yes, yes. And I believe it is those scriptures that helped us, even during the time when sometimes we have a resentment in our heart for our leaders. The Word of God cleansed us and helped us to get rid of that.
Yes, Janet, thank you so much for what you've shared. I mean, it's time now for us to wrap up for this first episode. You know, it's really been an amazing testimony so far, just to hear your journey of where you're coming from as a little girl, going to church with her older sister, and then becoming saved at 12, and then the fire that was shut up in your bones alongside, you know, the other youth in your ministry, and just to hear, you know, how God has processed you, and, you know, just hearing how important community was. In the whole process of healing, you know, and in that journey of digging deeper in God, despite the hurt coming from the leaders, you know, and still moving forward and submitting yourself to God and the leaders in the same space, so that you could see God breakthrough eventually. So we're going to pause for today, and we are just going to allow us to speak a bit later for the next episode. Right, so I just really want to thank you, Janet, for coming on the show and for sharing your experience. I mean, this is not an easy experience to share. As I said, so many people have experienced hurt within the church and, you know, just have not been able to get over it. I know we're going to speak a bit more about it in our second episode next week, but is there anything you'd just like to tell the listeners at this point in time?
Well, you know, I have learned that the church is just like life, you know, and we have a lot of, sometimes we have unrealistic expectations because this is the family of God. You know, and I have learned because of this first experience, because I have experienced hurt again in different ways and manners, and that formed the frame and foundation for me, and I have been able to help others through mm-hmm. their hurt because of how God allowed us to process mm-hmm. this first one that almost knocked us down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so much. Janet, is there any way persons can contact you if they want to speak a little bit more about this, if they want to get help? How can they contact you?
Sure, I have a ministry email. It's fisherroad, FISHERROAD 49, no space, @gmail.com. So it's fisherroad 49 @gmail.com.
Okay. All right. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to contact me, if you want to ask questions for next couple of episodes, please join me at Journeying with Joe on Facebook and Instagram. That's Journeying with Joe. And you are free to ask me any questions, comment, share, like, you know, and we will continue next week. We'll have a repeat of the show on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock in the morning. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful week. Love you.
Thanks for having me.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside.